content of this program is intended for people who are blind and vision impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Now, this month is December, and I bet everyone remembers what the very favorite day of December it is, the 25th of December. And what is that? That is right, it's Christmas Day. And Christmas is just a fun day with lots of readings and carols and special meals and lots of presents, of course. And anyways, here we go with the first Christmas story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Here we go. Oh, by the way, this is by one of my very favorite authors, Dr. Seuss, who has written lots and lots of books for kids and for adults, and we'll read some more of them as time goes on. But today, our Dr. Seuss book is called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Every who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. That Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. It could be, perhaps, but I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. But whatever the reason, his heart or his shoes, he stood there on Christmas Eve hating the Whos, staring down from his cave with a sour, grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town. For he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now, hanging a mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here. Then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find some way to stop Christmas from coming. For tomorrow he knew all the Who girls and boys would wake up bright and early. They'd rush for their toys. And then, oh, the noise, the noise, 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 noise. That's one thing he hated, the noise, 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 noise. Then the Whos, young and old, would sit down to a feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, and they'd feast, 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 feast. They would feast on Who puddings and rare Who roast beef, which was something that Grinch could not stand in the least. And then they do something he'd like most of all. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, would stand close together. With Christmas bells ringing, they'd stand hand in hand, and the Whos would start singing. They'd sing, and they'd sing, and they'd sing, 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 sing. And the more the Grinch thought of this Whoville Who Christmas sing, the more the Grinch thought, I must stop this whole thing. Why, for 53 years I've put up with it now. I must stop this Christmas from coming. But how? Then he got an idea, an awful idea. The Grinch got a wonderful, awful idea. I know just what to do, the Grinch laughed in his throat. And he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. And he chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. The Grinch looked around. But since reindeer are scarce, there was none to be found. Did that stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. So he called his dog Max, and he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn to the top of his head. It's a really silly-looking horn. Reindeer have two horns, not just one, and poor Max only had one reindeer horn. Then he loaded some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh, and he hitched up poor Max. Then the Grinch said, "Get up," and the sleigh started down towards the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. All their windows were dark. Quiet snow filled the air. All the Whos were dreaming sweet dreams without care. Then he came to the first little house on the square. "This is stop number one," the old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof, empty bags in his fist. Then he slid down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch. He got stuck only once, for a moment or two. Then he stuck his head out of the fireplace flue, where the little Who's stockings all hung in a row. "These stockings," he grinned, "are the first things to go." Then he slithered and slunk, with a smile most unpleasant, around the whole room, and he took every present. Popguns, bicycles, roller skates, drums, checkerboards, tricycles, popcorn, and plums. And he stuffed them in bags. Then the Grinch very nimbly stuffed all the bags, one by one, up the chimbley. And he slunk to the icebox. He took the Who's feast. He took the Who pudding. He took the roast beast. He cleaned out that icebox as quick as a flash. Why, that Grinch even took their last can of Who hash. Then he stuffed all the food up the chimney with glee. "And now," grinned the Grinch, "I will stuff up that tree." Oh, dear. The Grinch grabbed the tree and he started to shove, when he heard a small sound like the coo of a dove. He turned around fast, and he saw a small Who, little Cindy Lou who was not more than two. The Grinch had been caught by this tiny Who daughter, who'd got out of bed for a cup of cold water. She stared at the Grinch and said, "Santa Claus, why? Why are you taking our Christmas tree? Why?" But you know that old Grinch was so smart and so slick. He thought up a lie, and he thought it up quick. "Why, my sweet little tot," said the fake Santa Claus lied, "there's a light on this tree that won't light on one side. So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear. I'll fix it up there, and I'll bring it back here." And his fib fooled the child. Then he patted her head, and he got her a drink, and sent her to bed. And when Cindy Lou Who went to bed with her cup, he went to the chimney and stuffed the tree up. Then the last thing he took was the log for their fire, and he went up the chimney himself, that old liar. On their walls he left nothing but hooks and some wire, and the one speck of food that he left in the house was a crumb that was even too small for a mouse. And there's a picture of the little mouse looking at this tiny crumb of food and looking very angry that that was all that the Grinch left for him. Then he did the same thing to the other Who's houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other Who's houses. And there's another mouse looking angry at the crumb. It was quarter past dawn, all the Who's still in bed, all the Who's still a snooze, when he packed up his sled, packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags, and the tinsel, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up of the up the side of Mount Crumpet, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. "Pooh, pooh to the Who's," he was grinchously humming. "They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I know just what they'll do. Their mouth will hang open a moment or two. Then the Who's down in Whoville will all cry, 'Boo-hoo!'" "That's not a noise," grinned the Grinch. That I simply must hear." So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. why this sounded very merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry. Very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes, and then he shook. What he saw was a shocking surprise. Every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing, without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't mean come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. That's a very new thought for Mr. Grinch. Oops, let me make sure I don't miss a page in here. There we go, I almost missed a page. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville they say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day, and the minute that his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light, and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he, the Grinch himself, the Grinch carved the roast beef. And that is the end of that very fun story about Christmas and being kind and caring about Christmas as not being something just from that comes from a store and presents, but it comes from being together, sharing a meal together, and singing together, and being happy. So that's the end of it. Next comes a very famous poem that I'm pretty sure all of you have heard before, but since it's such a very famous poem and a very good one about Christmas, I'm going to read it. And it's called, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," by a man named Clement C. Moore. And it's been around for years and years, over 100 years, I think. So anyways, here we go. "'Twas the Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down our brains for a long winter nap when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the cluster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering sight should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called by them by name. Now Dancer, now Dasher, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blixen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As the dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas, too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each tiny hoof. And it drew in my head, and as turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur, from his head to his toe, and his clothes were all famished, and his he was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all furnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry, his droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held in his teeth, and the smoke encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly, and he shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. Excuse me. Excuse me, there's something weird is happening here. Oh, there it goes. Okay. His eyes, how they bubbled, his dimples, how merry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and he filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him explain, when they went out of sight, "Merry, happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And that is the end. Did you know that poem? I'm sure you most of you have heard of it. The next story is called The Nutcracker. And you might have seen, I don't know if you might have gone to a ballet downtown, and you might have seen the dancing of this story. It was made into a ballet many years ago, maybe two centuries ago almost. And it's beautiful. And here we go. You might have been downtown to see The Nutcracker, or you might have heard the story before. But anyways, here goes the story, The Nutcracker. It was Christmas Eve, and Clara and her brother Fritz were very excited. That night there was going to be a very magnificent party at their house. Fritz was busy playing with his toy soldiers, while Clara finished decorating their enormous tree with a beautiful fairy in a sugar plum-colored dress on top. At last the guests started arriving for the party. "Look, there's Godfather Drosselmeyer," said Fritz. Their godfather was a famous toy maker. He hugged the children close and gave them their gifts. Fritz eagerly unwrapped a mechanical jawbreaker machine. For Clara, there was a wooden nutcracker in the shape of a soldier. "I love him," Clara whispered. "Thank you, Godfather." "But he's a soldier," said Fritz. "He should be mine." Fritz tried to snatch the nutcracker away from her. He pulled, and Clara tugged, and then, crack, the nutcracker's leg snapped off. "I can fix him, Clara," said their godfather gently. He pulled a little tool pouch from his pocket and quickly mended the nutcracker. "Oh, thank you," cried Clara. She placed the nutcracker carefully under the Christmas tree and went to join the party. Finally, the last dance was danced, and the guests said their goodbyes. The family went to bed, and the house was dark and quiet until bong, 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 bong. Clara awoke to hear the clock striking midnight. She suddenly remembered she'd left the nutcracker under the tree, so she tiptoed downstairs. As she bent to pick him up, the tree suddenly started to grow. Or was it that Clara was shrinking? "What's happening?" she cried. "Don't be afraid," said a kind voice. Clara turned around. Her nutcracker had come alive. Behind him, Fritz's shoulders were sitting in their toy box. Before Clara could speak, she heard a scurrying sound, and an army of mice poured into the room, led by a giant mouse king with a golden crown. "Attack!" he squeaked. "To battle," ordered the nutcracker, and Fritz's shoulders marched boldly towards the attacking mice. Suddenly, Clara saw the Musk King, spring at the Nutcracker. She snapped off her slipper and hurled it at the Mouse King. He fell to the ground, and his crown tumbled from his head. With their leader defeated, the mice scurried away in fear. The Nutcracker picked up Clara's slipper. "I owe you my life, Clara," he said. "You broke the spell that was put on me long ago by a wicked mouse queen." Clara gasped. The Nutcracker had been transformed into a handsome prince. "Come," said the prince as he helped Clara into a magical sleigh. "I'll take you on a wonderful adventure." The walls of the sitting room seemed to fade away, and a sleigh drew up. They climbed aboard, and it flew high into the starry sky. "Where are we?" gasped Clara. "This is the kingdom of sweets," said the prince. Gently, the sleigh landed beside a magnificent marzipan pile. Marzipan is a type of candy. "Look," said the prince, waving to a fairy by the gate. "It's the sugar plum fairy." "This is Princess Clara," said the prince. "She saved my life and broke the Mouse Queen's spell." "Prince Nutcracker," said the fairy, "you are home at last." The sugar plum fairy hugged Clara. "Let's celebrate," she said. Inside the palace, Clara and the prince feasted on delicious cakes and sweets. They watched in wonder as the sugar plum fairy twirled around the room to the beautiful music. Clara's eyelids began to drum, and the sound of the music became fainter and fainter. When Clara woke up on Christmas morning, she found herself curled up under the Christmas tree next to the Nutcracker. "I've had the most wonderful adventure," sighed Clara, as she told her parents all about it. "It was just a dream, darling," said her mother. Clara gazed up at the sugar plum colored fairy on top of the tree, and then she looked at the wooden Nutcracker in her hands. "Perhaps it was," she said. But then Clara noticed something glinting on the carpet, and a smile spread across her face. It was the golden crown. Well, that is not as long as the ballet, and there's a lot more things to see in the ballet, but that's still a good story. Our next book, and probably our last, is called Leffie's Christmas Gift by Lizzie Walkley. It's Christmas again, and the North Pole is bustling. The reindeer are stretching, and the elves are all jostling. They've wrapped up the presents, nicely tied with twine. Polished the sleigh. Oh, how it did shine! All the elves busy at work. Santa made his last checks and put on his boots. He's fed all the reindeer and worked out his routes. Tonight he delivers the sacks full of toys from North Pole to South to all good girls and boys. Little Elf Leffy Elf quietly watches the scene. His job is to dust, to sweep up and clean the wood shavings and sawdust, the ribbon and tape that fall to the floor as the presents take shape. Leffy knows Santa works from morning to night, making toys underneath his glowing lamp light. He watches Santa thanking each little elf for all their hard work, with no thought for himself. Later that evening, Leffy stood and waved with the rest as Santa took off on his wonderful quest. But he couldn't help thinking, as the great sleigh took flight, what would Santa get for Christmas tonight? We don't think of that usually, do we? Think about Santa Claus needing a present, too. Amongst all the excited chit-chat in the room, Leffy is thoughtful and takes up his broom. As he sweeps up the floor, he comes up with a plan. "I'll make something for Santa. He's such a kind man." But what could he make? "I'm no good with wood. It never turns out the way that it should. I can't bake a cake. It always goes wrong. I know. Perhaps I could write him a song." Leffy started writing with his ink and his quill. He wrote out the words and hummed it until he'd made up a song that really made clear why Santa filled everyone with Christmas cheer. Whilst all the elves were snoring and dreaming, A blanket of fresh snow has fallen, all gleaming. Neffy's the only one listening out for the sounds of the sleigh bells coming about. Santa lands silently. The night was so still. He feeds the reindeers until they've all had their fill. Then, so he won't wake even one elf, he slips off his boot, leaving them on the back shelf. Santa sits by the fire, warming his toes, sipped at his cocoa, and his eyes started to doze. As Leffy sneaks in, giving Santa a start, he clears his throat and sings the song from his heart. "This song is for you. I want you to know that you really make the whole world glow. You're smiley and funny and jolly, too. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without you. You've traveled the world on Christmas Eve, never stopping to rest. You always leave just the right gift for each child you find. You really are very incredibly kind. I wanted to sing this so you could see just how special I think you to be. You're my special friend, my Christmas spirit, and before tonight ends, I thought you should hear it." Santa's kind face lit up with joy, like a child receiving a favorite toy. Down his cheek rolled a glistening tear. "Oh, Leffy," said Santa, "you've made my year." With both hearts full, they sat by the fire, watching the warm glow as it started to tire. Then, as it faded to just the right last ember, Leffy whispered something we all should remember. "A present's not just about having more stuff. A gift from the heart is more than enough. A song or a picture, a kiss or a hug, and spending some time with the ones we love." And that's the end of that book. Isn't that a nice book? That's such a pretty story. And now time for a little poem or two. This is "A Peanut Sat on the Railroad Track." His heart was all aflutter. Along came a train, the 9:15. Toot, toot, peanut butter. And here's one. Little Nancy Etticoat in a white petticoat and a red rose. The longer she stands, the shorter she grows. What is she? She's a candle. Did you guess? And there was Old Betty Blue lost a holiday shoe. What can Old Betty do? Give her another to match the other, and then she may walk in two. And we have now run out of time for this episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For information about NCRS, visit our website at information@ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on the North Carolina Reading Service.